Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
When was the last time you went to the mall? You park in the giant parking lot, you jostle your way through the big long hallways of, let's be honest, a lot of empty storefronts, maybe a pit stop at the food court. Has it been a long time? If it has, you are not alone. Those malls are increasingly empty as the pandemic, e-commerce, even revitalized town centers, which is a good thing, move in on their territory. But what if they could help solve our housing crunch? The Metropolitan Area Planning Council says they could in a new report called Rethinking the Retail Strip. So let's explore that. And we invite you to join the conversation. Tell us about that strip mall, that mall that is decaying or falling into disuse where you live. And are there any big developments planned in your community for that property? Do you see potential there to repurpose it for housing, public space, parks, etc.? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And by the way, if you do see that potential, would you support it? So joining us now, lead author of the report I just mentioned is Chris Cushel. He is the principal planner at the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, which I'm now going to call MAPC because it's hard to say. Chris, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Chris, we are pairing you with Tina Cassidy. She is the planning board editor for the city of Woburn. Woburn is doing it, turning the Woburn Mall into a mixed-use development called Woburn Village. Tina, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
So, Chris, I'm going to start with you. It's a big report. There's a lot in there, but give us the headline.
Sure. Well, I think the big headline here is clearly, as you outlined, we have a lot of challenges in our region today, an affordable housing crisis, issues with our roads being traffic clogged, issues with environmental problems. And part of the solution can be reimagining and re-envisioning and redeveloping these strip malls. The potential that we looked at after cataloging them was if we took the top 10% of sites, and I can talk about what we mean by top 10%, but the potential there is for up to around 125,000 housing units that could be redeveloped on just those properties, which is about 300 and some odd sites in our region.
And would that meet what we estimate is the real housing shortage in the Commonwealth right now, 125,000 units? Is that a lot of it or a drop in the bucket?
That would be a substantial portion. MAPC estimates that we need over the next decade or so around 140,000 units.
All right.
So that would meet a big percentage of those needs.
So there's a lot we're going to dive into here. But before I turn to Tina to add her voice, Chris, I want to ask you one more question for now. Okay, so you take top 10% of the sites, you do this, you get 125,000 units on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, yeah, we'll just do it tomorrow, and 10 being, are you kidding me? This is so hard. How hard is this, Chris, for a community to do?
There are some formidable barriers that exist today. This is certainly not something that could just be done tomorrow and flip a switch. There's a lot of barriers. The good news is that many of the barriers are within the municipality's control. And I'm sure Tina could speak to this, but one of the biggest barriers has to do with the actual local regulations just simply don't allow it. And so that can be changed. We do know that there tends to be a strong market demand for this. I actually got a call just yesterday.
Wait. Tell me what that means. What does a strong market demand for this mean? Sorry to interrupt.
Sure. Meaning that when presented with the opportunity, many of these developers or landowners would love to redevelop their land. I actually got a call yesterday from somebody who is a landowner of a strip mall in one of the communities. He went to the report. He actually found his site and he thought that this is a great idea and he would love to. But the zoning doesn't actually allow him to do that.
All right. So let's turn to you, Tina, now with the lived experience first. On that scale of 1 to 10, how hard has it been for you?
Well, I would have handicapped it at maybe a 5.
Okay.
We had an old, tired mall that, while it had 2 reasonably successful anchors, was largely vacant. Many storefronts in it were vacant. There had been some additions put on over the years, including a standalone building that was built out in front of the mall back in 2010, but it largely had not been invested in many, many years. So the city had a facility privately owned that, while it was generating revenue, was in terms of tax dollars, that was about all it was doing. And we were approached by a team that wanted to buy the site and reinvigorate it, but explained that in order for it to be successful financially, it needed to have a residential component. And the zoning that we had in place on the property at the time would not allow anywhere near the kind and amount of development that ultimately is on the site now.
Wouldn't have allowed the number of residences that you needed for it to be profitable for the developers.
Exactly. So without that incentive or without that ability to create a higher number of residential units, there was not going to be a reinvestment in the commercial. It would pretty much stay as is.
So zoning has been a boogeyman, Tina, for so many communities on the housing front. How'd you get it done?
So we got it done because we had a savvy council and a savvy mayor who understood that there was a better way forward. And there was also a state law that exists that we utilized. It's Mass General Law Chapter 40R, which is called Smart Growth Districts. And it is designed to encourage mixed development, meaning a mixture, literally, of residential and commercial uses in close proximity to one another that can, you know, with the commercial supporting the residential needs, whether it be groceries or entertainment or retail. And if a city or town adopts a so-called 40R district, and it takes a lot of doing, you have to literally create it in words and create design guidelines that go with it. But if you can do that and do it successfully and then rezone a parcel, which is what Woburn did, it offers a number of assets beyond just the reinvestment in the property. As you might imagine, reinvestment is going to result in more tax revenue to the local community, which it certainly will for Woburn. In this case, by using 40R, we actually negotiated with the developers to have 25% of the units classifiable as affordable.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you there. Not that I'm not interested in the rest of what you have to say, but I have several questions on the stuff you already said. So let me just pick up a couple of things there. So the town has to say, hey, we're going to do this 40R thing. Here's how it's going to work for us. You just said, you know, a percentage being affordable. For the average person, affordable in the community means I'm trying to think of a simple way without using any jargon to explain this. Affordability is based on that sort of the middle of income in the area, right? So what's affordable in Woburn might be different than somewhere else, right?
That's true. Although it's fairly uniform, the state of Massachusetts sets, actually tells you what, given the market circumstances in your area, what the state considers to be affordable. And by that, they typically mean what is the maximum amount a family could pay for housing and keep it within, I think it's no more than 30 or 35% of the total income.
Of your family's income. And, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I just to paint a picture then, Chris, I know you're still there. I am coming back to you. I'm staying with you for a minute longer, Tina. Just to paint a picture, Tina, what – so I live there now. And now, obviously, maybe I don't live there yet, but it's done, let's say, and I live there. What does that mean? Where do I live? Am I in an apartment, a townhouse? What can I walk to? What's in my surrounding area at this Woburn Village?
So all of the units, there are 350. They have everything from studio apartments to 3-bedroom apartments. They're all garden-style, one-level apartments. It's like an apartment building of multiple stories. On the first floor, though, it's I think a total of 7 stories, but on the first floor, there is a number of retail spaces that have been created on the first floor of that building, and they also have a parking garage to provide much of the parking for the residential units directly in the building on site. Once you left the building, you would walk out into what is the remainder of the Woburn Village, which is sort of a compilation of a mall-style building that hosts a number of retail spaces and a fairly large grocery store.
Okay, so, and just, again, sorry to interrupt you, just lots we got to get to here. One example of one retail space. We've got a grocery store, one example of one retail space. Is it like a clothing outlet or a coffee shop, or what do you mean?
All those. Okay. There's a Home Goods. There's a coffee shop. There's a sort of a high-end cookie place. Okay. There are a number of restaurants.
So I want to put this now back. Tina, thank you. I want to put this now back to the listener. Do you want this in your community? So 350-unit housing, some mm-hmm. open space, retail. You've got a grocery store there. Would you support it in your community for that strip mall you're thinking about out there in the back of your head that is just tired? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Chris, I'm going to come back to you. So 40R, 40B, I know that's hard stuff for the average person to understand. It has to do with state laws, but it has to do with, you know, housing mixed with businesses and with 40B affordability, you know, having affordable housing. How important is that? Some of this housing being affordable to these strip mall solutions, this, you know, 125,000 unit potential you're talking about, to actually happen and solve Massachusetts' housing problem?
Well, we think it's critical that a portion of these units be set aside as it's deed restricted affordable. So with the 40R program, it's usually at least 20% affordable units.
Meaning they always have to be priced that way when you say deed restricted, right, Chris?
Yep.
Okay,
correct. And I mean, that's 25,000 units. That would imply out of those 125,000. We think it's important for reasons of improving the equity within our communities, making them more inclusive. So I think that's always one of the fundamental principles that should be considered.
So I'm mindful of a segment that we did March of 2020 on Newton and Northland Development in Newton, where there was a strip mall that was being proposed for mixed-use housing and how controversial that was. So let's talk about what communities don't like about this idea, Chris. You know, let's, zoning issues aside, what concerns people?
Sure. I think we could probably put them into 3 major categories. One has to do with impacts as it relates to the traffic. That's something we hear, especially for larger developments, but even very small developments. People have concerns about what the impacts on the roads would be. A second is impacts on the schools. There's a fear that you're bringing more people into the community, and if you have overcrowded schools, that they would get worse. And then a third is this sort of more nebulous concern of a loss of community character. That might mean the physical character of a community. If you're going from a single story to, let's say, 3 or 4 stories. And sometimes it means something else. Sometimes it's thinking about the fact that the people who are coming in might be different from you. And they sort of use the zoning as a way to block that.
Thanks for that answer. So you are listening to Radio Boston. We are having a conversation based on the Metropolitan Area Planning Council's report, Rethinking the Retail Strip, that says you could take a strip mall and actually use it to help solve our housing crunch. You just heard from Chris Kuschel, one of the authors of the report. We're also talking with Tina Cassidy, who's the planning board director for the city of Woburn, where they're doing this. So, Tina, what was the biggest outcry in Woburn? Was it tax, you know, too many kids coming into these units and taxing our schools? Was it, hey, we're worried about traffic? Or was it this nebulous local character?
we really didn't face too much of the community character issue. The parcel that we were talking about is in a largely commercial area on a largely commercial road, not immediately adjacent to any neighborhoods in particular. So for us, it wasn't that. It was concern about the impact on the roadway. There is a lot of traffic, and how could we accommodate this many additional residential units with their traffic on the roads as they existed?
So how?
And also, impact on schools was a concern. Would we be getting many children? And, you know, there's only one, typically in our cases, in most communities, there's only one elementary school as an option for any particular neighborhood. And so for the city council, those were the concerns in Woburn.
And do you know, will you get a lot more kids and will there be a lot more traffic?
Well, so we did a couple of things. When the council ultimately approved the project, they imposed a couple of conditions, including a look back, if you will, periodically, of the impacts that the development is actually having on the roadway system. There were a number of improvements made to traffic signal timing and some roadway configurations that were needed to accommodate the new development, but they'll be reviewed periodically over time. And the developer, if it is found that additional tweaks need to be made to accommodate, you know, something that perhaps was overlooked or an impact that was more than we expected, we'll be able to ask the developer to go back and address that issue so that the taxpayers won't have to pay for that solution.
And that has teeth, Tina. You feel like you will effectively be able to get the developer to make those changes.
Yes, we do. We do feel that.
I'd like to go to the phones here, 1-800-423-8255. George is on the line in Hamilton. George, do you like this idea?
Yeah, I do. I lived in Manhattan for quite a few years, and I'm familiar with shops with 6 and 8 stories and more of housing on top of it, and it works just fine. It isn't just a last-ditch effort to revive a commercial corpse. It's a nice solution. We're okay now, but I wouldn't mind living on top of the North Shore Mall if there was a stack of housing on top of it.
Here you
go. What?
I said, there you go. That's great, George, and that's a great example. Thank you. Thanks for the call. I'll grab one more. Kathy in Salem. Kathy, go ahead.
Yes. I'm a social worker who happens to work with youth aging out of the system, and one of our biggest hurdles is housing. And also it's just a hurdle in general in the foster care world of trying to find affordable housing for youth. So this would be very much something I support. And the fact that it has access to the stores and the grocery stores and all that kind of stuff just adds to it, because most of these kids don't have cars and rely on public transportation, and so much easier if it's right there.
Kathy, thanks for that call. And that's a great example of who might benefit from a project like this. All right. So, Chris, we have a limited time left, about a minute left. So briefly, if a community is listening to this, somebody in their local city council is listening and they want to do this, what's the first step?
Well, the first step is to identify the site, so the area that would be most conducive to actually rezoning, and then looking at what are the barriers on why it's not happening now. I suspect it probably is the zoning. There could be other barriers as well. And then to get to work. And MAPC is always willing to be a partner with our communities and help them achieve those types of goals.
And since you've released the report, have you had outreach from communities? You told me about a call from a developer. What about from communities themselves? Have you had any outreach?
Well, we've only just released it last week, so as of yet, we're not at this point.
All right. Well, that is something to look to in the future. Chris Kuschel is a principal planner at the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, and Tina Cassidy, the planning board director for the city of Woburn. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Tina, thanks to you as well.
My pleasure. Thank you.